You're listening to The Doug Haldeman Show, Mortgage and Real Estate Talk. Here's your host, mortgage expert and consumer advocate, Doug Haldeman.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Doug Haldeman Show. I'm here with my co-host, Tammy Haldeman. Welcome back, Tammy.
Thanks for having me today.
Not only my co-host, but my partner in life. All right. So, Tammy, whenever we talk about paying off a home, okay, that's a dream for a lot of people, and you probably have questions about that. Like, what's the first thing that pops in your mind when it comes to paying off a home?
Well, I mean, I know most people have that dream to pay it off. So going with a 15-year fix seems to be the most traditional way to do it. And I guess my question to you is, do you think that is the best way?
All right. So is a 15-year fixed loan the best way to pay off a house? And I'm going to say it is a way to pay off a house, but in my opinion, it's not the best way.
Okay.
So here's the reason is this becomes a question of paper economics versus pillow economics. Okay. Have you ever heard those terms?
Only from you.
All right. So paper economics is how the numbers actually work over time. Mm-hmm. Just looking at the pure numbers. Pillow economics is making financial decisions that let you sleep at night. You can lay your head down on your pillow and you know you sleep at night because you're not risking everything. So each person has to measure their own risk tolerance to be able to make financial decisions that end up matching their personality and their risk criteria.
Mm-hmm.
So a 15-year fixed is actually much riskier than most people think.
And why would you say that?
All right, so let me just give you a real-life example. So I had some clients of mine that recently called me. Okay, this was actually just a couple weeks ago. And 3 years ago, they took a 15-year fixed loan at 3% interest. So fantastic interest rate. That's a great interest rate. However, now the client retired, and they can't afford a 15-year fixed payment on his retirement income. Okay, and he's taking distributions from assets, but he doesn't show enough income to qualify to refinance into a longer-term loan to reduce his monthly payments back down now. So now he's stuck in this 15-year loan.
Yep.
Well, what are his options now? His only real option is to sell the house.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a house he really didn't want to sell. He wanted to stay in there.
Right.
And he didn't heed my advice 3 years ago when I told him the 15-year fix wasn't the best option.
So then I guess what are your ideas then on how this could have been prevented but still pay off his house quickly?
Okay, so let's first look at why people take a 15-year fixed rate loan. Okay, there's two real reasons. First, the interest rates on a 15-year fix are usually about 0.75% lower than a 30-year fixed. The second reason is you pay off the house much sooner, right? So, you know, obviously 15 years sooner than a 30-year fixed. Well, at Cornerstone Mortgage, we actually have an option that blows away other lenders. Okay, so other lenders really won't be able to take the option to the degree that we can. So we have a 10-year fixed rate loan, but it's amortized over 30 years.
Okay, that isn't computing in my brain.
Okay, so it's what would be called a 10-year ARM.
Okay.
Okay, which what that means is that for the first 10 years, the interest rate is fixed.
Okay.
And then after 10 years, it can start to adjust.
Okay, all right.
So the interest rate that we can get on this 10-year ARM is actually similar to what we can get on a 15-year fixed.
Okay.
So that means for the 10 years that the rate's fixed, okay, then it can start to adjust. Well, this allows you to enjoy the benefit of the low rate of the 15-year fixed, which is why people take it over the 30-year,
right?
Because it has the super low interest
rate.
Right. But you aren't obligated to make the higher payment. Okay, so like my client who just retired, he wouldn't be in this situation if he'd gone with that loan. So using this strategy, you can end up paying off the house in less than 14 years without the risk of being stuck with the higher payment.
So then, I guess explain how that works, because my thought process on this is it's like a government loan of deferring my student loan payment, and then I'm still left with a lot of interest to pay. So I guess explain that a little bit more on this.
Well, and it's really not like that, because it's not an interest only loan.
Okay,
so you're not just paying interest; you're paying money toward principal every month. It's amortized over 30 years, so you're not going to, if you just make the minimum payment,
mm-hmm.
you're not going to pay it off as fast as a 15-year fixed loan.
Okay.
Okay, so let's use some real-life numbers, and let me walk through how you can do this. So if you visit our website at smartwithyourmoney.com, I'll end up posting a link on there that will walk you through these numbers. It's a what I call a mortgage coach presentation that will compare these options, and you can actually look through and see the payment difference, the short-term savings, and the longer-term net worth and how it builds. So in our example, we're going to use a $300,000 purchase price where somebody puts 20% down. So that gives them a loan amount of $240,000 on a $300,000 purchase. So the link that I'm going to post is going to end up comparing, we'll compare a 30-year fixed with a 7-year ARM, a 10-year ARM, and a 15-year fixed. We'll compare all four of these options. The 15-year fixed is $629 more per month than this 10-year ARM that we're going to offer. Okay, so $629. For most people, Tammy, don't you think $629 is...
That's a lot of money.
That's a pretty significant difference.
I mean, I'm placing it like in my parents that are in retirement and what they could do with that $629.
Right. Okay, so the first option is you still make the payment of the 15-year fixed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you'd pay an extra $629 per month on this loan, and you know, you still have it paid off in 15 years. Okay, mm-hmm. It would end up being about 15.5 years, but without the risk.
Right,
okay?
Right.
But if you lost your job or you had some other circumstance, you wouldn't be obligated to make that higher payment. Okay, so that's mm-hmm. option number one. Using this plan, how it offers more safety. The second option, what you can do with this, is instead of paying the extra $629 a month down on the mortgage, you actually invest it. Okay, most investment advisors are going to tell you that you'll earn 6-8% interest over time in a well-diversified portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be true necessarily over 1 or 2 years, but over the course of 15 years, that's long enough that you're going to have your ups and downs where you should be able to earn 6-8% interest over time. So if you invested that $629 per month, well, after 13.75 years, you'd have enough money to pay off your mortgage. So you actually would pay off your house faster by doing it this way. I don't know if you've ever heard the term arbitrage.
Yeah.
Okay. Arbitrage is when you borrow money at one rate and you invest it at a higher rate. This mm-hmm. is exactly what banks do every day, but
right.
banks are never going to give you the advice to do what they do. It's just to do what they say.
Right.
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 So this is a way that you can use the same strategies that the top, like, sophisticated investors use to become financially free.
Well, it still sounds a little risky to me because I'm pretty conservative. So I guess kind of go over some of the risks with us.
Okay. So first off is don't confuse the risk of an ARM or an adjustable rate mortgage mm-hmm. with the risk of a balloon note.
Okay.
Okay, a balloon note
yeah,
is where...
Yeah, that's different.
Yeah, the balloon note would be like after 10 years that the entire balance is due. And that's not the case with an ARM. What happens with an ARM is that it's amortized over 30 years. In this case, for the first 10 years, the interest rate is fixed. It cannot change. And then after, at year 10, it can start to change. They would take the LIBOR index, they'd add on your margin to it, and that's what your new rate would be. What doesn't mean your rate's going to skyrocket.
Okay.
Okay, it can go up maximum of 2% per year, okay, which is not that's not massive adjustments, but in most cases it won't even go up 2% per year. I've already factored in those adjustments into this comparison that I put on our website at smartwithyourmoney.com. If you look for this, look for the blog post, fastest and safest way to pay off your home, and you'll be able to walk through and see, even with the risk of those adjustments, we still, in this case, could pay off the house in 13.75 years.
So I do have a question about the adjustable ARM. When an interest rate, let's say I lock in with you at 3%, and then the ARM goes up to 4.25%, and then maybe
and you're
it
talking
drops.
About in you're talking about in 10 years, right?
Right.
Right.
And in that amount time frame, let's say that it actually drops down to 2.75. Will my rate go to 2.75, or am I stuck? You know, I'm at the 3 because that's what I locked in at.
Well, okay. So with this product, okay, if somebody locks in at 3% as an mm-hmm. example, they're going to be at that rate for 10 years.
Okay,
it cannot
so
change.
They then, can't. It won't go lower than 3, even if the
right,
market
not
is
for, not for the fixed period of the loan.
Okay, got it.
Then after 10 years, it can adjust up or down. Now,
oh, okay.
Over the last 8 years, all these short-term rates have been so low that most people with an ARM have loved it because instead of their rates adjusting up, their rates have adjusted down.
Yeah, I can see that being kind of exciting.
Well, that's something that people seem to ignore, and I tell you that ARMs got a lot of bad press during the economic downturn of 2008, And this was caused by three things. First is subprime ARMs. Okay, they adjusted after only 2 years, and their margin was very high, so they almost always adjusted up. Okay, so for instance, popular one was it's called a 228.
Mm-hmm.
So that meant on a subprime ARM, it was only fixed for 2 years, and then it would start to adjust, but it would adjust way up. Right. And they would put a prepayment penalty on there that was even longer than the adjustment period,
mm-hmm.
which was just a killer. Like it was true predatory lending.
Right.
Okay. Well,
right.
Number two thing that got a lot of bad press were the negative amortizing ARMs. Okay. Mm-hmm. So these were loans where the interest rate adjusted every month, and the worst of all, the required payments. Okay. The required payment didn't even pay all the interest due.
Mm.
So you were just kicking the can down the road. So your balance was actually increasing every month. And then the third one were the interest-only ARMs. So you're not actually making any payments toward
to
principal.
The principal, right.
Which I'm not totally against that one if somebody will be disciplined and actually put the money away.
Yeah. Sorry. If they'll do it, right.
Well, a lot of people will, though, and that's where...
That's good. I mean, I hope, you know, that would... I could see that. If that's the case, then that would work.
Well, and even if they don't want to invest it, okay, mm-hmm. even if you just take that extra money and you plow it down toward principal, okay, mm-hmm. now you're still safer. I would rather take the risk of what happens from year 10 through 15, okay, than I would taking a 15-year fix where I'm obligated to pay the $629 every single month. Because just from watching this over time, everybody that thinks that they have a really safe, secure job, I don't know that really exists nowadays. Is it really a safe, secure job out there? Companies go out of business constantly. Mm-hmm. Companies get bought and sold, and people are constantly losing their jobs. And when you get to an age where you can really afford that 15-year fixed, well, now all of a sudden when you lose your job, you're not very hireable anymore.
Right.
Right? I mean, a lot of times it's...
Unfortunately, that is what's happening.
So yep. If you want to learn more about this, mm-hmm. definitely reach out to me and let me look at the situation for you, because this is actually just one of the examples of where this... is a great scenario for you. Visit our website at smartwithyourmoney.com. Look at the link on there where you can see the actual numbers on this and how it plays out, and then reach out to me to schedule a personal consultation to look at your scenario. Best way to reach me is 314-472-DOUG. Again, that's 314-472-DOUG, D-O-U-G, which is 3684, the numbers for it. Or you can send me a contact form at smartwithyourmoney.com. And let's set up a time to review your personal scenario. So coming up, we actually are going to be covering what we call the bailout scorecard. So all the bailouts of Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, all the banks that happened back in 2008, we actually are going to see the scorecard and figure out how has that actually turned out for the government when we bailed everybody out. You're listening to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.